Oh, yeah, I can come all the way down. Good morning. It is good to see you in the place of worship. You're at the right time, in the right place with? Amen, amen. I'm happy to see you and worship God together. You can find some information in your bulletin. I'm going to just highlight some of them. And you see red attendance pad. You can write it down, your name. And if you need my attention, please write it down. And I will check it. And when you need some kind of my phone call, or when you need some kind, when you have some suggestion or request about the church, I will pay attention to your writing. And today we have a special musician today, Miss Chamberlain. Yeah, let's welcome her. Adira is taking a vacation now, family trip, so please remember her in your prayer for her safe trip. And she'll be back in a couple of weeks. And as you know, 1st of October, we will have chili cook-off and dessert auction. Yes! Oh, it looks yummy. We have about 4 or 5 people, that sign up. And they say they will cook and cook chili, prepare cook and dessert. So you can, if you wanna make a chili or dessert, you can write it down on the sign of sheet, and it's gonna be really good. So October 1st after the 10 AM service. And I want to mark on your calendar October 24th. That's going to be our church conference. Church conference is about celebration of the ministry. So I will make a video clip what we have done in our ministry in the past 1 year. And we will watch that video clip and celebrate the ministry. And that means nomination team will call you pretty soon. Yes! It's a nomination season. We appreciate all the leaders and the team members, and also invite the people. So when you receive the call, you have maybe 2 options. The first one, yes, I will. And the second one, I love to do that. How about that? Okay, now we are collecting everyday essential for local pantries, so please remember that. And loose coin this month will go to UMCOR. You have heard so many happenings, natural disasters, earthquake, flooding. 100% of your donation to UMCOR will go help the people, directly go help the people. So I'm really happy we help UMCOR to help the people with our loose coin and our donations. And today, yes, Katie is our liturgist. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand as you're able and join me in our opening prayer. We sing to you, O God, for you have been our strength. You open the waters of suffering and lead us safely through. You uphold us in times of deep distress, and we exalt your holy name. Receive our honor and thanks, mighty God. Amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou and thou only first in my heart. my treasure thou art.
Amen. Please be seated. To share our joys and concerns during the week, we have a couple of people who have birthday. Oh yes, happy birthday! Yes, this coming Friday is Barb's birthday. Yeah, we can give her a big hand. And also, we have Brooklyn. Please say, happy birthday to her and Elisa and Eric. And we have a wedding anniversary, and the couple is in this room. Happy wedding anniversary. Yeah. How many years? 52. 52. That's a really good number. I'm going to catch you. Thank you very much. And you can make a phone call or send a card to celebrate their special days. And now I'd like to invite you to share your joys and concerns. What joy you want to share as family and prayerist? Yes, Elena.
Concern, I lost my rabbit. He was 8.5 years old, though, so he lived quite long, longer than what life expectancy is. He's a little dwarf rabbit. So,
I'm sorry.
Hanging out with my Lucy.
Lucy?
Lucy was my beagle that I lost last year.
She's
one of my best of friends, though. She was my rabbit and my ferret.
I'm sorry.
So finally I will be hopefully pain free after that.
Yes.
And then I'll be off of work for months.
correct me if my memory is not correct. Did you say 25th? Yes?
25th.
Yeah, 25th, yes. So please remember her in your prayers. She's gonna have surgery.
Rotator cuff.
Yes. Please remember her. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a joy. Yeah. Welcome home. Yes. Driveway cement work is almost done. Technically, it's done, but it needs time to dry. And Trustee has been working so hard, and I really appreciate Trustee's work. And they are planning another project as well. So we need to express our appreciation to our team and have them in our prayers. And I want to remember Judy Bushman and her family in your prayers. She has only one sister, one sibling, Linda. She passed away last Sunday, so please remember her. Judy lost three close family members in the past 3 years, both parents and only one sibling. So please remember Judy in your prayers. And here's my joy. Confirmation class will do the first service project this coming Saturday. So it is like three times a month we have a lecture. So we will have it this evening. And once a month we have a service project. And we will start the service project from our local area. So about 17 or 18 people will go help Sauk Valley Food Bank this coming Saturday. So it's my joy. And please have them in your prayers. And also, you heard about flooding in Libya. Over 11,000 people. Last week we talked about earthquake in Morocco. And today, Libya. So please remember the people in your prayers. And please continue to have Linda Dirks and Fabian and John, Misty and Jean Partridge in your prayers. Let's turn to God and pray. Loving God, this morning we have gathered in your name. Lord, we love you. We trust in you. We share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, Lord, because we believe in you. We know you listen to our prayers. God, in our body and our community, there are so many people who need your touch in their body and soul. God, those who have surgery lately, touch their body, strengthen their immune system, and most of all, God, let them feel you, your presence. And also, we have people who lost their beloved one, God. We know we will have reunion in you. We believe in your promise. Yet, we are mortal. We are grieving. We are mourning because we love them. God, visit each one of them and give them comfort and hope. Use us, Lord, to reach out to the people. Make us your hands and voices. Lord, this morning we also pray for the people, many places around the world, scarred by natural disasters, earthquake and flooding, and so many places. Lord, remember them. Remember those who got hurt and lost their beloved one. Lord, give them your hope, the hope only you can provide. And give our strengths. Give your strength to the people who are rebuild their cities, houses, taking care of the people. Lord, and also empower us, even though we have not been to the places, even though we don't know them, but as beloved children of yours, Lord, help us reach out with our prayers and support. Lord, this morning, as we center our mind and worship you, receive our worship and speak to us. Lead us, guide us. We need you. Every day we need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing together, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought, verses 1 and 3.
blesses thought, all words with heavenly comfort brought, whatever I ever I'll be, still this God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor evermore, more, Lord, we find content whatever lot I see. Since this my God and leadeth me, he leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. Amen.
Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat and others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. This morning, I'm really, really happy and excited because we have a great preacher. Did you know that? We have a guest speaker. He is fantastic. I love to listen to his message, so maybe I will just go down.
Good morning. Well, this parable will stand on its own, it needs some context added to it. Like so many other passages in the Bible, an awareness of when and where it happened, as well as the setting that it occurred in, helps to clarify and make the message stronger. At this point in the Gospel of Mark, we are in Jesus' final week. The day before, Jesus has cleansed the temple, driving out the money changers and seller of sacrificial animals. If we look at the other Gospels' accounts of this event, we get a picture of Jesus upsetting the status quo in a big way. For just a minute, imagine a crowded temple. Passover is approaching. People have come from great distances. It's very crowded. Now imagine the chaos caused by throwing the tables over. Money's hitting the floor. Small animals are running loose. Jesus now has everyone's attention, both the gathered pilgrims as well as the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. He tells the crowd, "My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. You have made it a den of robbers." The religious leaders once again realize that they must silence Jesus, but they have a growing problem, the crowd. These events are happening in the open. Jesus has made a big entry into Jerusalem earlier in the week. He is gaining followers and attracting even more. After this confrontation, Jesus leaves the temple for the evening. Upon his return to Jerusalem the following day, the chief priests and scribes confront him. They ask him, "On whose authority are you doing these things?" Jesus answers by saying, If you answer one question for me, I will answer yours. The question they asked Jesus was, did the baptism of John come from heaven or was it of human creation? Jesus asked the priests a question that they cannot answer. Either answer paints them in a bad light. Now we finally get to the parable that was contained in today's reading. Jesus is in the temple. There are people around, both the pilgrims for Passover, the residents of Jerusalem, as well as the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees. Both groups are looking for different things. Many are looking for a Messiah, someone that will free them from the oppression of Roman occupation. The chief priests are looking to maintain what exists and not lose control of what they have. At this point, Jesus tells the parable from our reading today. Jesus tells of a landowner who decides to start a vineyard. The owner does a complete and thorough job. He not only plants grapes, he builds all the infrastructure necessary for a successful vineyard. He puts a fence around it to secure it. He digs a pit for a wine press necessary to harvest and process the grapes. He builds a watchtower to protect his crop and the tenants. In short, he's done everything needed to ensure a productive vineyard, one that provides both security and profit for the owner and the tenant. So far, everything's good. The parable mentions the owner was absent or went away for a time. This was not an uncommon occurrence at this point of time in Galilee. The owner provided the vineyard, the vines, and the conditions necessary for a successful harvest. At harvest, the tenants would return a portion of the harvest in lieu of rent. Now, after harvest time, the owner sends his representative to collect rent from the tenants. The tenants beat his servant and send him back empty-handed. The owner shows remarkable patience and sends numerous representatives and servants back to collect the rent due. Some were beaten, some were killed, and the rent was not paid. The owner thinks, I will send my son. Surely they will respect and honor him and pay what they owe me. The tenants now figure out if they kill the son and heir, there is a good possibility the authorities might consider the field ownerless. This would, in effect, make them the new landowners, no more payments or rent. Under laws and customs of the time, this was a real possibility. So they killed the son. Jesus then asked the question, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come in and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Today's reading concludes with the lines, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. This part of the parable, the last line of our reading, is a quote from Psalm 118, verses 10 and 11. This would be a familiar quote to most of the people, but especially to the chief priests and Pharisees. As with most readings in the Bible, and particularly the parables, they can be interpreted in a lot of different ways. The crowd would have had varying reactions based on their backgrounds. I'll come back to this in a minute. The important reaction is the way that the Pharisees and chief priests would have taken this parable. In the Torah and their holy writings, our Old Testament, Israel was often referred to as the vineyard of God. Therefore, they would have seen the owner as God and the vineyard as Israel. The tenants were the people and the leaders of Israel. The son was Jesus. The final lines would speak to their rejection of Jesus and their failure to recognize a new kingdom of God. They would take this as a statement of attack and responsibility for a failure of faith in Judea. The numerous servants and representatives would represent the numerous prophets sent through the ages to correct Judea's course and actions. The prophets were rejected and the people suffered. People in the crowd listening would have reacted and understood this parable in many different ways. Some would look at this the same way the priests did, an attack on Judea. Others would see the landlord or owner just as that and would show compassion for the landlord. Given the occupation by Rome for a long period of time and the economic hardships suffered by the people, many might side with the tenants. The different reactions and interpretations of this parable show its timelessness and wisdom. 2,000 years have passed, but this parable still rings true and offers us much. Times have changed, and some of the things mentioned don't make a lot of sense to us. Not too many of us toil in a vineyard for a share of the crop. Hopefully none of us are considering beating and killing those agents that come to collect their due from a legitimate contract. The fact that we are sitting here today hopefully shows that we have not rejected the stone that became the foundation of our church and beliefs. I like to look at this parable not as a list of what not to do, but as a guide and encouragement to a closer relationship with God, not only to me individually, but as to the whole community. God has provided us with an amazing vineyard, not just some grapevines. He has provided all the tools and materials for a fruitful and satisfying life. God has provided us all with the individual gifts of the Spirit necessary to form a community of faith and abundance. These gifts are free by God's grace, even though we fall short of deserving them. If we are truly grateful, we return to God our praise and thanks. At times, it seems like the Bible and organized religion give us a list of things we shouldn't do. In Mark, the same chapter as this reading, in verses 30 and 31, Jesus gives us the best answer as to what we should do. When asked what the greatest commandment is, Jesus responded, "First, to love your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Second is to love one's neighbor as oneself." Let's consider the outcome of our parable had the people involved adhered to this. If they had acted out of love rather than greed, everyone would have reaped the benefits. This sounds pretty simplified. Is it really? Love is a hard thing when it comes to our work relations, friends, and acquaintances. It is difficult when it comes to new cultures, different beliefs, and new people. If we try a total transformation of all our attitudes, it's very difficult. I challenge you once this week, when you encounter a difficult situation at work or interactions with other people, rather than react with anger or indifference, try a more loving and accepting response. Let's try not to end up like the wicked tenants.
Thank you, Steve, for your great message. Many insight. And there were so many points he preached. And the last portion, he said, love is all relational. 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 So that's so true. The Bible says God is love. That means God is relational. God wants to make a relationship with you and me. God wants to speak to you. Today, tomorrow, every day, God wants to speak to you, and we see the proof in Jesus Christ. So let me just test you, sorry. John 3:16, you don't have to complete the whole verse, but maybe first sentence, God so loved the world. Thank you. Yeah, I went to a funeral, and when I gave a homily, I tried to do that. God so loved the world, and then quiet. Oh my goodness. When you remember them, God is love, God is relationship, God is all relational. God wants to speak to you, and we find that proof in Jesus' love. The communion is one more chance we get reminded of God's love. So,